Prove it, peeps. Welcome to the show. This month, we are talking all about stepping into your power. And I cannot think of anything more powerful than owning your self-worth, acing your next job interview, and stepping into the career of your dreams. Our guest today, Matthew Sorensen, is a former executive recruiter, search firm owner, and director of talent acquisition. Today, as the host of the Job Interview Experience, Matthew shares his insight from the other side of the interview table with job seekers from his 11 years of talent acquisition experience. Now, in his spare time, he enjoys roasting coffee, organic gardening, wine, and collecting wool sweaters and vinyl records. I also used to have a career in recruiting. Say that five times fast. Career in recruiting. Prior to building Improve It, and I was recently a guest on Matthew's show, so having him on our show today was such a fun flip. I'm thrilled to chat with him today. And if you clicked play on the show, it's because you want to change in your career and you're not sure where to start. You want all the tips, tricks, and strategies to help you ace your next interview. You want to approach your dream career with a strategy or a plan. And if this sounds like you, let me tell you, I've got you, boo. I know for a fact that Matthew has a loyal following and community and is going to give us all the goods he gives his own peeps today. Get ready to step into your power and become the person you were always meant to be. Without further ado, let's get to Improving It with Matthew Sorensen. Welcome to the Improve It Pod. Thank you for being here.
Hi, Erin.
Okay. Now, I've been on your show. Now you're on our show. It feels right. I feel like I had the best time on your show, so I hope I make this the best experience for you. There's no pressure. I'm just putting it on myself. But I'm thrilled because you're here in the month of April, which we're talking about stepping into your power. So before we get going, I want to set a one-word intention for our time together. It could be a word that you want to give our audience, or it could be a word that you're just feeling today. So what's one word you want to give our audience?
Solution.
Ooh, I like that. Okay, y'all have landed in the right place. So when you think of stepping into your power, what does that mean to you?
Well, in my line of work and in my career, I've been focused on careers. So hiring people and helping companies set up to add people to the team, whether it's a new role, expanding a role, helping someone move up through a company, interviewed thousands and thousands of people. And the reoccurring theme I've seen is that people are hired because the company needs a solution to a problem. They're not really hiring a person. They're not hiring Matthew. They're hiring a solution. And for people that are currently in a role, they are a solution. You're a solution to a big problem. And maybe it doesn't seem like a big problem because you're such a great solution. But if things go haywire, you say that you leave the job, just you walk out one day in the middle of the day, things can go really, really bad. So you are a valuable solution in your role. And I think you can expand on that and take your career to even bigger places when you carry that mindset with you and you start to strategize a little bit.
Oh my God. I'm here for this. I know everyone is here for this. And it's so funny because I think about my own team. And truly, because we're a small business, some of them were hired to truly because I thought that they had great skill sets and I knew there was going to be a solution. But when I actually look at what compromises our team, everyone is there to solve a specific problem. And they do it every single day and they don't even recognize how their contributions make such a difference until they see it come back to us. And so I think what's really cool about that is not only are we going to talk about solutions, but I hope people leave here today seeing how they're their contribution, their solution makes a difference, and then how you can just like explode that into the world.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Okay. I want to know this. I know this kind of, but give us just a brief overview of what got you here, because you're the host of the Job Interview Experience. How did you get to that place? What led you to the show? You have such a successful show. Tell us just a little bit so we can get to know you.
First of all, thank you for having me. At this point, do we have like a breakfast club? Is this just like our weekly breakfast club where we're hopping online and just talking about the solutions to all the world's problems?
Cheers, my friend.
Cheers. If you don't, if I don't know if people on the podcast can see, are we on video? This is the best water bottle. I found it. It took me decades. This is the best one.
What is it called?
This is the not a sponsor. They don't know me. This is the Owala. And you, first off, if you have a kid, you can lock it closed. There's a button to open it, but it has a straw, plus you can chug it. So you can lift it up and drink out of it, and it also has a straw.
Okay.
Which to me is just perfect. I love it.
We need a new sponsor. Owala, hit us up. Okay. No, that is amazing. And honestly, I'm super here for a straw. I drink way more water if I have a straw. But this is our breakfast club. This is week two of us discussing this. And I feel like this is such an interesting angle because we call our audience the Improve It Peeps. The peeps haven't really done a deep dive into their own dream job before. So how can, like, through your lens, how did you get here and how can you help them find their dream job?
So I'll try and make my career journey short. So I worked as a recruiter and an executive recruiter. I was an executive recruiter at a small boutique firm that was old school. So for anyone listening that has had exposure to recruiting, 70s, 80s, 90s, early 2000s, you're mostly just calling into companies, trying to find out who worked there. Say you needed to hire a CTO, you'd call in and say, oh, I'm looking to call your CTO, and kind of pretend that you're calling because you're maybe a business partner, whatever. So I was trained by someone who was an old school recruiter and really good at her job. And she relocated and I didn't. And so I had been working on ideas on how to start my own firm and some things that I wanted to do different. I'm a little bit outside the box on some things, or maybe just trying to find ways to do this so that it was client focused. I knew I would do great work for the candidates, but how do I make this accessible so I get repeat clients and they feel like it's easy to work with me? So I started my own search firm, did that for about 4 years. And I'm proud to say I did really good work. I mean, people that I placed, like 99% of them stayed at their roles. Some of them are still there. I mean, years and years and years looking back, some of them have been there a decade. So I had a lot of repeat customers because of that. I got to learn a lot about what companies want. And when you own a search firm or you're an executive recruiter, that for me, it was mostly small businesses. So I was meeting with a lot of business owners. Maybe they had 10 to 50 people, quickly growing businesses, or medium-sized businesses where you're meeting with typically the C-suite or someone like that to dig into what their needs are. And my experience is, at least a search firm owner, is they tell you things that they wouldn't really tell anyone else. They tell you things that they might not tell their team, what they're looking for, mistakes they made, who works in this role, who doesn't. And so I got a lot of exposure to that, and I met a lot of really, really talented people that I recruited into these roles. One of my clients was very quick. It was a group of four companies privately owned by two brothers. They're just exploding with growth. They had patents. They had new inventions. They did all kinds of stuff. They had a software product they started. And I had placed so many people there that they were starting to look at the numbers. And they're like, we can't – he's doing a great job, but we can't keep using him because this is starting to cost a lot of money. And so they offered me a job. I kind of said no. They offered me a job again, director of talent acquisition there. I said no. And I really liked the leadership team there. It's just different. I mean, it felt very much like day one, being part of something big, but it was already successful. So I went and worked there. And that's where I got exposure to, I'll say, everything. They had a SaaS company that software as a service. They had a construction company. They had a steel manufacturing plant. They had patents for that. They recreated the new invention for highway construction, the replacement for steel. So we had, I mean, I was hiring software developers, salespeople, machinists, everything you can imagine. And I mean, we were hiring like a ton of people, like hiring lots of people every week. And I was doing most of it myself. So reading all these resumes, interviewing, you know, 5 people a day, sometimes 10 people a day on the phone or in person. It was insane. So we grew those businesses, and then the company was acquired. And I didn't have a game plan. I had no idea it was coming. And unfortunately, I'm not one of those people who was part of that acquisition, so I didn't get a penny out of that. So retirement was not an option. So I was thinking about all that I learned during that time and how to share that with job seekers. And I was working on different ways to do that. And I knew what podcasts were because I listened to 1 or 2. But I kind of made fun of the, oh, everybody has a podcast thing, right? And I didn't think anyone would want to hear what I had to say. So I happened to have a microphone. I rambled for 20 minutes and put out my first episode and kind of enjoyed it, did another one. And within a month, I gained listeners. And I didn't have any kind of background, any kind of following, anything like that. I'm not the most interesting person. But people liked what I had to say because I think I was really kind of putting my heart into it with a good intention to actually help people, just sharing my knowledge for free. But it's also humanizing it. And I think for a lot of people, it's hard to find a recruiter to sit down with. If you know an executive recruiter, maybe you're not looking to make a change in your career. So you're not going to ask them questions, but people feel a little embarrassed, you know, to ask insight. Just like people don't want to ask a doctor, like, you know, they have a cousin who's a doctor. They don't want to say, hey, look at this thing on my foot. So I think I kind of opened this portal to at least my experience, what I saw, and that was about 3 years ago, I think, and the audience has just grown. So, you know, my goal, I think it turns out my calling is sharing this knowledge from my side of the table, from the mistakes I've seen and a lot of interesting ways to do things right.
Love it. Okay. And I love the different roads that led you here, because there were several, and you said no at the right times, and then you took the path when it opened up right for you, and it's brought you to a really cool place, and you have such a great audience, and you give such great insight and such great tips. I know that so many people listening, you have to go and listen to his show, especially if you're searching for a new role, because I was a recruiter too. Back in the day, I did business development at a recruiting firm. You know this, Matthew. And that's a hard job. And it is hard to talk to a recruiter because recruiters are so busy trying to fill roles. Like, your time is literally money. So to get this experience, these insider tips for free is so cool. And I think I'm so grateful you have this for people. Let me ask you this. In your personal experience, what sets somebody, like a candidate looking for a job, from somebody who wants a job, what sets them apart from somebody who's looking from somebody that is passionate about what they do? Because I know when I was a recruiter, this is horrible to say, but my old boss would say, there's a walking invoice, because that person was it. You just know when you meet that person that they're the right fit for that job. What is the difference between just a job seeker and a person who is deeply passionate about their career path?
Oh my gosh, you hit the nail on the head. And so I'll rewind to when I was an executive recruiter, I'd go out and try and find that person, right? That walking invoice. That's really hard to do. But then when I was director of talent acquisition at the company I mentioned, and then I was actually director of talent acquisition at another startup after that, every once in a while you interview someone, especially for in-person interviews. You're sitting at the table, sometimes company owners there with you, sometimes maybe the chief technology officer is in there with you, you know, you're a couple interviews in. And I've interviewed a lot of people, thousands and thousands of people, and there's this small group that stood out. And I'll answer your question, then I'll dig into this. The people who stand out, the passionate people, they want to solve a problem. So during their interviews, you know, the owners of the company and I, you know, it just happened over and over. We'd glance at each other and we'd try and figure out how to hire these people, how to get them on board. And we shifted. We're the ones that got nervous and we'd start selling them the role.
Yeah.
Instead of vetting them, instead of saying, hey, you know, you've got a capital T here on your resume. Is this some, not that we did that, but instead of kind of digging in and asking hard questions, we'd start saying, hey, we've got this and this. The top candidates, they weren't the best looking. like the most successful job seekers, they spoke and said, they said it, they probably said it plenty. And they didn't even have the best answers to interview questions. What they held and verbalized was a solution to our problem. And that's why I'm so glad you asked that question earlier. They wanted to solve something. They know what we needed to do. And from their experience and expertise, they just casually shared how to get the best outcome. So if it was a salesperson, they know how to connect our product to customers. A lot of times they'd say, you know, I've seen a lot of companies go this path and that never works. What I found and what I did in my last role or with my last team is we actually set up this and we'd say, oh, what you just said doesn't work. And that's what we've been doing and it hasn't been working. Like, you know how to fix this. Can you start today? Can you start right now? If it was a marketing person, maybe they'd explain how they'd set up the right campaign with the right strategy for the best ROI. And you don't have to be a seasoned expert to do this. You have to care.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's the hard part. And you're going to have to care over and over. So when you ask that about people who are passionate, I think the passion that comes through for employers is solving the problem. You can be passionate about a certain side of town that you want to work in. You can be passionate about how cool a brand is, that you like the vibes. That doesn't really help the employer. But if you invest the time to understand the role and the why are they hiring? Not because someone left, like bigger picture than that. What's the purpose of this role? Not the day-to-day, not the computer programs. Why does a role exist? To bring in revenue, to reduce errors, to delight customers. And then you need to understand what the solution is, what your solution is. It might take hours to research it, to build a plan. But imagine a job candidate comes into a job interview and they can say, I'm passionate about this. Everyone's passionate, right? I'm excited. I'm passionate. But if they come, maybe they say they're passionate, but instead of just saying that, they come to an interview with a 2-page outline on what they would do to make this department successful through their role.
I mean,
a game plan.
Game changer.
The candidate goes to the top of the list. Even if you don't have the best skills.
Yeah.
You have a plan. Skills are great, but plans get things done. And here's the best part. If you're listening and you're having trouble even getting a job, and again, you have to care, and this is hard work. You have to want to provide your skills. You want to have to help solve a company's problem. And I get it. Making money is the big part. We have bills to pay, right? We have mortgages or car payments or whatever. But a lot of people are probably listening and they're saying, I am passionate. I am that person. I want to solve a problem. I can't even get the interview to share how I'll help. Probably the best part here is in getting the interview is the hard part. So instead of writing a cover letter or no cover letter, instead of writing a cover letter about you, I want to work here. I love what you're doing. I want to relocate to your city. My friend works here. In the past, I did this and this and this and this and this and this and this. Then I helped these people. Then I did this and this and this. Instead of all that, which is about 90% of cover letters, maybe 95, just say this. Put this in your cover letter. Your company is looking to improve its marketing campaigns. As a marketing manager that has led campaigns with a 42% ROI in 8 months, I understand your challenge. Here are 3 action items I put together for this role to help improve outcomes and retain clients while staying under budget. Bullet point 1, bullet point 2, bullet point 3. Make them short, a sentence maybe. There's more to this plan that I've gathered into a brief for you. I look forward to meeting and sharing it.
Ooh, y'all better hit pause, rewind, and write that down. That was amazing.
So that's not going to guarantee you get hired. That cover letter, sadly, might not even be read. But you just took, if that's seen, if they look at the people that applied, you just took your candidacy into the stratosphere.
Yeah.
Not every company will like your plan, but they will like that you have a plan.
Totally.
You are a solution. You are a solution with a solution. You're the solution. You're good, but you also have the solution with you, if that makes sense. You're 2 things at once. You're the person they need, which they need a person, but you also have a solution.
Oh, I love it. I love it so much.
It's like if you're locked out of your car you need someone to come unlock, you need the tow person, right, to come unlock it. They're your solution, but they need the tools to do it.
Totally.
You have
both. They can't show up without tools. Now, this, okay, first of all, you're blowing my mind here because I feel like I needed this today. If you're listening, and maybe you're not job seeking, maybe you're in sales, maybe you are a people leader of a sales team. What a great way to rewrite your sales pitches. Make it about them. What about, this goes just for literally anything. I think you can use this approach for job seeking. You can use it for sales. You can use it in marketing. You can use it with your partner, with your friends. Anything that you can do to showcase that you understand people's problems and you can be the solution is automatically bumping you up in terms of candidate, in terms of partner, in terms of vendor, in terms of whatever it is. You're automatically going to be seen as a problem solver and as a solution, which I think is what we're all really looking for, people to solve our problems.
And here's the challenging part, and this is how it applies to so many things in life. To do this, you have to put yourself in their shoes and understand their problem from their perspective, not from your perspective, not from, oh, I see that people are drinking less Pepsi. Well, as a consumer, you know, here's how I think they should pitch me. I mean, that's one way to look at it. But you have to look at it from their perspective. What are their quarterly reports? What are they saying? You know, what have they said? What are their challenges? What ingredients don't they have access to? What is there a shortage of aluminum, you know, aluminum for their cans? What is happening in their world? And then how do you solve that instead of what's happening in your world, which is wanting a job, wanting to relocate, wanting to live in Miami or Los Angeles? Those are all you things. Those aren't their problem. They didn't wake up thinking about that.
Totally.
But when you do that for a client, for a spouse, for your local HOA or city council or whatever you're part of, when you put yourself in their shoes and see the problem from their perspective, not only do you, I think, gain some empathy for it, which we should all have, you also can understand how you can work together with that organization or person and what you can bring to the table.
Oh my God. Matthew, it's like I wrote a whole book on this. Okay. Like literally, this is exactly what I was talking about. And I see you. It's seeing the person as the human being. And when you can, as the job seeker, see the person that you're hiring, the job that you're hiring for, as an opportunity to be empathetic and help the person with their problems, you're gonna land that role in no time. I really think this is the answer that a lot of people have been looking for, and it's just a quick mindset shift. What do you see, and not to go negative, but I want to talk about this. What are some of the things that you see in job interviews that are super challenging that people should avoid doing?
I'd say a big one is mindset. And I think this is getting worse. A lot of job seekers have had bad experiences or heard horror stories. So they think the recruiter is out to get them. Now, there's a lot of mistakes you can make during your interview. I talk about a lot of them on the podcast. But for the most part, a lot of those things that job seekers think are killing them aren't killing them. Like I've said this before. You can say 100 times during your job interview. Yeah, maybe it's a little annoying. But if you have a great skill set and you align with their budget, they're not looking for someone who doesn't say, that's, you know, that's not on the job description. You must be an expert in Microsoft Excel and never say, So all these little things that people, I think, get hung up on, like, oh, this is killing me. I'm nervous. I sweat. I say, a decent recruiter, they're human. They know that you're nervous. They don't care that you say, the recruiter is going to kind of dig deep and want to, you know, you don't want to mess up. You don't want to start cursing or, you know, whatever. But don't start the interview with a combative mindset that you are going head to head.
Yeah.
That recruiter that you speak with might also end up being your best friend. And by that, I mean offering you the job. And a lot of people listening have, I'm sure, worked as recruiters or in human resources. And they know, like, you don't walk into the interview room or pick up the phone and think, oh, I'm going to get this person.
Yeah.
So instead of a combative mindset, think of it as meeting up with a friend.
Yeah.
Someone that likes you. Think casual yet professional. You can't force them to like you. So just be friendly yet yourself. they're motivated to hire. They want to call someone or sit down with someone who's the right person for the job. So don't think that they're out to get you. A good recruiter is working to figure out how you're the right fit. There's a lot of things you can do to help them, like being a solution that I spoke about. But that mindset of feeling like you're kind of going in the ring with them and you're really nervous and you think they're out to get you, I think that hurts job seekers a lot more than saying too many times or being a little bit awkward or whatever else. Those are little things that we're all just humans and we do those things, whether we're in the office with our coworkers and we're a little awkward, we spill coffee on ourselves, whatever. Those are small things that I think are mostly ignored or not even noticed. Yeah. It's going in ready to fight or be defensive that I think hurts a lot more people.
Yeah, it's like the energy, right? You can feel somebody's energy. And I think the mindset, which you meant when your first solution mindset is huge. Because if you go in, even from like a place of desperation, I feel like people can feel that. And I, as a recruiter, I had many different experiences, but it was always the people who understood the assignment, knew what the solution was, and also had a readiness to learn, even if they didn't know the skill set, but they had this positive outlook, and not saying this has to be toxic positivity, right? Like, but a genuine desire. I always was like, that is the person for this job. And I think what you're saying is even stronger than that. The mindset just holistically has got to be huge. If you're a fan of the DISC personality assessment, but don't know the name Eric Kershat, we need to do something about that. Eric is an award-winning authorized partner of Everything DISC and the 5 Behaviors, but he's more than just a provider of assessments. As the owner of Harmony Insights LLC, Eric has become the go-to resource for companies who want to build high-performing teams and revenue streams around some of the most popular workplace solutions. Eric's true passion comes from partnering strategically with organizations to guarantee lasting behavioral change. When you think about the last time you were on a team that struggled to communicate effectively, you probably saw leadership suffer, sales decline, people leave. It's frustrating, right? What's worse is knowing that it doesn't have to be like that. Whether your goal is to coordinate a memorable group workshop, administer your own company-branded assessments, certify an internal champion, or simply explore a custom solution that suits your needs and budget, connect with Eric on LinkedIn or at harmonyinsights.com to explore what's possible. That's harmonyinsights.com to explore what's possible. What are some of the strategies that you would give some of your candidates to use to get themselves in a positive mindset before they go in?
Just shifting your thinking to a conversation, using the word conversation. Instead of, I have an interview tomorrow, it's, I'm gonna talk to Erin at Improve It tomorrow. Erin is taking time out of her busy day to talk to me. And so I'm gonna assume that she likes what she saw on my resume, on my cover letter. And those aren't things that you're not lying to yourself there. That's the truth. Recruiters are super busy. They get 100, 500, 1,000 applications, and they choose. So when you have an interview, they chose to talk to you. There's something about you they like. So they're starting off liking you. I would encourage you to start off making the choice to start off liking them. And when both parties start the video call, when both screens go live, and you emit, like you said, you use the perfect word, when you admit that energy of liking them, like, hey, how's it going?
Yeah.
It's really good to see you. I've been looking forward to this all day. Instead of, oh, hey, this is Matthew. Can you see me okay? You know, and I get that you're nervous. I get that you've been hurt before from interviews, from letdowns. Maybe they acted like they liked you and then they ghosted you. And that adds up. I think one of the hardest things of job seeking is letting those things go and persevering. It's not, applying is super hard. It's super time consuming. The cover letters are hard. The interviews are hard. One of the hardest parts is making yourself, finding a way to let things go and to start fresh. This recruiter, this next interview, this next recruiter, you two probably 99% chance you don't have a background. They didn't ghost you. Someone else might have. They didn't. So give them that fair shot. Give them your friendly energy, your smile. I think that's one way to help shift your mindset a little bit. I know it kind of mirrors what I said earlier, but you have to give yourself permission to like be their friend and not something else.
Okay. And I love this so much. Behind me, Matthew, is a vision board. Okay. And behind on this vision board is the beautiful, the one and only, my North Star, Oprah Winfrey. Okay. And this is going somewhere, I promise. When I went to see the Oprah show before the Oprah show was canceled, I realized that I was witnessing her third show that day. And she records multiple shows in a day. She had already had three audiences. She's probably already taped like five shows that week. And she set this intention to come out to the audience, give us her full attention, because she knows we've come from all over. We've planned this. This has been such an exciting thing for us. And she gave us her energy. And I know this is Oprah Winfrey, and I'm talking about job seeking. But if you think about it, these recruiters, as the candidate, they have been in multiple conversations, but they're still there giving you their energy. And you've probably at this point gone through multiple interviews as a candidate, and you're probably burned out, or you're getting to a place of burnout. If you can think in that moment, I get to talk to this person, I feel like that mindset shift is what you're talking about. Like, I don't have to, I get to. That changes everything. And truthfully, I'm going to be honest with you. Today, I told you this, Matthew, before we hit record. Listen, your girl's having a day. I was just having one of those mornings like, life is overwhelming, blah, blah. I was, woe is me. And then I thought to myself, Matthew's got great energy. I get to talk to Matthew today. And that changed my vibe. And already after talking to you, I'm feeling better. So that mindset shift, cheers. Cheers, Fred.
Cheers. Like,
It can change the game, for real. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I want to jump to one more tool, and then I have a fun little thing I want to do. Networking. So you're talking about landing the interview. That is the hardest part. They always say on Peloton, Jess Sims always says this. She's one of my favorite instructors. She's like, the hardest part is check, done. You're here. Let's go, right? So the hardest part is getting the interview. What is your take on networking? How do you think that plays into getting interviews? And would you say it's one of the most effective tools?
So I'm probably a little bit different of a networker. So my very first job out of college, I sold newspaper ads for our local business journal, okay, back when it was print. Maybe it still is. And I went to every networking event, I swear to God, every networking event in the world with that job. So I saw basically networking, the worst and the best. The joke about networking is it's a bunch of salespeople all giving each other business cards, right? Because you're all there to try and sell. So what I learned from that, what I took from that, and maybe this is just my personality, but I don't have like a theme for this. I try and kind of unnetwork. So I don't pitch when I meet people, whether I'm selling or not. Just try and find people that you connect with well, and hopefully that person and you can have great parallel careers together. And what I found from that is when I still go to events, I shouldn't have told you this, Aaron. I am part of a different breakfast club.
That is rude. I am not. Okay. We have our own. We have our own. Cheers. We'll do one more. Cheers. Okay.
The second best breakfast club I go to, in person. So I try, don't be business card first. Don't be job seeker first. Meet the right people, sit at the table, just talk to people, tell them about your skills, ask them questions. And we could probably do a whole podcast about this, but
yes,
be a good, friendly person. Try and think of it as like you're in your neighborhood, right? You are not going to go sell all your neighbors, give them your business card, say, hey, if you ever need, a new roof, call me.
Yeah.
Just want to go talk to them, see what they're about, ask them what they're about, see if you want to hang out again, kind of is the idea with your neighbors. So that's how I view networking. And I think that's helped me because it's long-term. I've made a lot of great long-term connections. And through that, some of those people out now, like we talk and it's like, hey, how's stuff going with your business? And I'm like, I'm trying to connect with this type of organization or this type of thing. They're like, oh, I know, like, you know, my neighbor or someone I worked with for 10 years is the leader of the national version of that. You should like call them. And so what I found is if people see you're working hard, you do network. To me, networking is more getting out of the house, joining a club, joining a knitting club or a rowing club or a biking club. Those people all, like, they will be able to help you. But when you go you first, I think it really hurts. So I'm probably not the best person to pitch this, but that's what's worked for me. I've never gone at it with this, like, how do I make this work for me in the next week or month? For a job seeker, if you go that direction, those people are all going to want to talk to you again because they see that you're interested in what they do and you just enjoyed speaking with them without approaching it to get something out of it. So you'll be able to say, hey, I know that, you know, maybe you were the president of this company and then you were the chairman of the board. I know you're kind of removed now, but I know you know the whole board now, or you know the leader of the marketing department. I'd really like to work there. Do you think you could set up just like a breakfast call so I can just kind of ask this person what it looks like to, you know, as a recent college grad or whatever, to like what they look for and speak with them from there? So that's one way to kind of do it, right? Is use the people who like you, who see you're working hard, to like use those relationships and just ask them, hey, can you make an introduction? Yes. That's worked well for me. The tip I have for listeners is the people that have helped me with these things that have made introductions. What I always do is follow up with them and let them know how it went. And I've received a huge amount of feedback on that. So I just say, hey, Aaron, I met up with A. Aaron the other day and we talked about this and this, and I learned a bunch about, you know, I learned a bunch from their perspective on marketing, whatever.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for the connection. Love just it. That simple, just a quick email. You can do a handwritten note. We won't go into that, but just let them know how it went. Let them know that you did, like, that you did your part. They made the introduction. They took a risk. Let them know you showed up. You made an impression. You had a great time. So for a job seeker, you can kind of look at all that, but maybe you're not all that networked. Maybe you're in a new town. Maybe you don't know anybody. The thing to do there is you can look up a company, figure out who works there. Sometimes from the website, LinkedIn's the easiest way. For big companies, it gets really hard. So my advice would be start small. So find it's going to be hard to get a hold of someone at Pepsi, or at least find the exact right person at Pepsi. But maybe there's a local Pepsi distributor in your town.
Yeah.
Message the CEO there and say, hey, like, I'm really interested in the beverage industry, hospitality industry, whatever. Do you mind if I just like stop by your office with a cup of coffee or even meet on a video call? Can I ask you these questions as I'm trying to get direction to move into this field? Or you can even say, I'm trying to move into this field. I just want to get your perspective on my resume or like how I might pitch myself, whatever it is. So you can find you have to find the companies, right? Whether it's you do local beverage distributors, local Coca-Cola distributors in Austin, Texas. So you can really narrow it down to things like that. I think that's the best way to get started. Otherwise, you know, you try and get a hold of someone at Apple. They have, you know, a billion employees. How do you find the right one? So to me, it starts small, really narrow down, and then that person at the Pepsi beverage distributor might say, hey, I have a relationship with like the regional rep or the regional buyer for Pepsi. Maybe you should talk to them. So that's, to me, like start, and I don't mean this in a demeaning way, but like start at the bottom of the ladder. Don't try and jump up to the like very top rung. Start down low, talk to people local, talk to people you can get in touch with. I like big picture thinking. I'm kind of a shoot for the moon, shoot for the stars kind of person. But I found is and I don't mean to discourage people, you're probably going to spend a lot of time trying to reach people who have been designed to be unreachable because of corporate structure. LinkedIn messages do go through. If you find the right person at Apple, send them a message. But in the meantime, so first step is when you meet with people in person, whether it's your bicycling club, coffee shop, whatever, don't be focused on you and like your short-term goals first. Just try and make a connection. If they like you, the only way they're going to like you is if you actually talk to them, you ask them questions, and then follow up on that, whether it's a week later or a year later. The other side is with networking, start small and be curious. Yeah. Don't approach it as, hey, I need you to hook me up with the, this is what I've seen a lot of. I need you to hook me up with the hiring director, the director of talent acquisition at Apple. Like, hey man, can you do that? That's probably like you're, if people even do that for you, they're probably going to be like, hey, I got this resume from someone. They wanted me to forward it to you. Right. Like you're probably not going to get a strong recommendation, anything like that. If you come in and say, hey, what are the problems in this industry? I think I have some experience from my last role that can help this. Like I've seen some things I see the growth in this industry and I think this skill I have can help improve it.
Yeah. Pun intended, improve it.
Whatever that is. And then ask questions. I think that's a better way to network.
Yes. Well, and I love that you're positioning yourself as not a vitamin, right? As a painkiller. And it's like, you have to kill that pain. And if you, and I also love what you're saying too, is be curious and also give more than you're taking, especially in that first meeting, I think is huge. Like just being curious and open to what that person needs, following up and giving to them will give more to you in the long run. Even though you want to take in that moment, giving will give more in the long run.
My ramble there was summarized so well with what you said. I wish I could just say ramble to you and then you could summarize it in like three words. Yes. That is the most amazing skill.
Well, thank you.
How do you do that?
I mean, it's years of improv training, Matthew. No, I don't know what it is. That's what I heard you say. And I think it's so cool. And I think you did not ramble. It was all great information. You gave such great inside tips. I think people literally gained probably something from you saying that. And if I just even reinforced it, they're going to move it forward. And I think for you, you're giving to so many people in the work that you're doing. Like it has to come back tenfold. I think that's just like the law of attraction too. Like you give and then you receive. And I think what you're doing right now, your podcast is doing that. And it's coming back to you tenfold. And so many people can learn from that, which is so cool. You're welcome. Okay. I don't want this to end because our breakfast clubs are fun, but I have a lightning round session for you. And I'm very excited about it because I'm going to put a minute on the clock, okay, on my watch.
Okay.
Are you nervous right now? Don't be nervous.
I'm super nervous. Don't ask me something hard.
Don't sweat. There's no sweat here, okay? I'm going to put a minute on the clock, and I want you, if you can, in one-word answers, they can be more than one word, but I'm going to interview in under 1 minute, and I want you to give me as many answers as you can to these 7 questions. Here we go. This is your rapid-fire round, Matthew. Here we go. Okay, best leadership book.
Endurance. It's a book about Ernest Shackleton.
Okay, Endurance. Best TV show that showcases leadership.
I'm going to say Sopranos. It's not good leadership, but leadership.
Oh, yes. Favorite song to pump you up before an interview?
Painkiller by Judas Priest.
Favorite interview outfit?
What I'm wearing right now. I like a merino wool sweater with the blazer over it. It's breathable.
Okay. Breathable, functional. Okay. Dream job of all time.
Movie director.
Oh, and then best interview you've ever had.
Right now.
Woo! You did it. It was like 102. Crushed it. Okay. This is the final question. Because we always say on the show, improve it. It is that thing that you are meant here to do. It's the reason that you exist. It is your purpose. What is Matthew's it?
I have realized in the last probably 6 months to a year of doing this podcast that I think part of my calling is helping great people who have great skills convey that to employers. Their job, their expertise is not job interviews, and it shouldn't be. Their expertise is being really smart at all the things I wish I was smart at. An amazing architect, an amazing actuary, amazing marketer, amazing machinist, amazing at social media. That's your expertise. My expertise is helping you connect the dots between what you're really good at and what the employer needs, helping you do that for a recruiter or whoever you're talking to. And what I've found is, like it or not, not by choice, not by design. I think this has been my calling to help people do that through the show. And I really push myself to be a little bit better at that and help listeners a little bit more every week.
People are clapping in their cars, in their showers, where they're on their walks, wherever they're listening to this. Okay, well, I know everyone is going to want to get in touch with you. This was amazing advice. You helped us with our solutions, okay, to all of these problems. Where can people find you?
The easiest way is to go to jobinterviewexperience.com. I'm not good on social media. I post a show to Instagram and LinkedIn, all those places. I'll be honest, if you message me there, I won't see it for a week or two. I'm just really bad. I'm stuck in 2000 whenever.
No, you're doing amazing, actually. Your brain is probably thanking you. So you're not stuck in 2000. Your brain is actually in the right place.
So if you go to jobinterviewexperience.com, you can message me directly. There's just a contact form there. I get those emails. I respond to them. Then there's a voicemail bag on there. So if you go to the voicemail bag, you can record yourself. If you specifically have an interview question, record it there. I'll respond to it. I'll put it on air. I cut out personal information. It's a really fun way for me to connect with you, the audience, things like that. But if you want to know more, message me on or send me a message to jobinterviewexperience.com. It has my email. It has a little form. I'm a little weird. I just am not on LinkedIn or like messaging on Instagram or Facebook. It all confuses me. So I'm an email person, but I'm like a inbox at zero person. So if you can contact me with me, any questions you have about your interview, career, guidance, I really enjoy helping. And I think that I can give you a different perspective. And also, if you go to jobinterviewexperience.com, you'll see the podcast. You'll see some interview videos up there, but you can find it. You'll see links to Apple, Spotify, and the 2,000 other podcast players out there. So that's a way to hear great guests like Erin, who's coming up soon, hear her insight. And I ask her some questions. And I think I probably got some things out of Erin that you don't get from her podcast because I'm asking things from my perspective and kind of putting her on the spot, which I found is a great way to, just like today, I hope I was helpful. When that adrenaline spikes a little bit and you have the nerves, hopefully that helps kind of get the creative juices flowing. So you can hear Erin soon. I have other guests, and once a week I have a solo episode where I discuss some type of job interview scenario. I just did one on the weaknesses question. I have an episode where I talk about ways to be a solution instead of a job applicant, and I'm just going a little bit deeper every week.
Love it. All right. We're going to link all of that in the show notes. Email Matthew. I'm actually really proud of you for not being a person that goes all over the place because it could really stress you out. That was part of my problem this morning, actually, if I'm being honest. You touch on the nose. But Matthew, you have truly given so much. Thank you. You really are a helper and a healer in so many ways, in different ways. Use that word for you because you are helping people probably heal past traumas of job interviews gone wrong. And hopefully in listening today, everyone goes and listens to his show, checks out his website, sends him an email. Matthew, you are awesome. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much, Erin, for having me. Can I just say, with what I do, so much of my life is planned. I work so hard to script out my episodes, write emails, send pitches. I so badly want to do one of your improv classes because from my experience, it's been a long time since I've done anything like that. It is so good to get yourself out of the box, to get that fear. For me, even just talking to you today, to get that like fear, the adrenaline, it helps like reset things in my mind. Yeah. I think it does for your listeners too. So I'm sure a lot of your listeners feel the same way, but if there's ever a chance I can join one of your improv classes, unfortunately, I'm a company of one, so talking right here, this is the improv class. And I think listeners feel the same way. We all want to do one of these classes, get out of the box. And you just shake off like that work weight that I think builds up doing the same thing every day.
I did not set you up for this. Everyone did not ask Matthew to ask me this, but I have two coming up, public ones.
You do?
When are they? I do. So April 9th, it is going to be from 1 to 2 p.m. Eastern. And then on April 17th, it'll be the same one from 11 to noon Eastern time as well. And those are what we're calling virtual book club. So it's actually I use the improv activities in the book to do a book club. And we're using improv, and you're going to go in and out of breakout rooms with a partner, but it's the activities pulled from the book. And you will be experiencing improv in real time, in real life, virtually. So I'll send you the links. You got to come. It will be so fun if you can make one. They'll both be the same. So just pick one, or you could come to both. But we'd love to have you. That'd be awesome.
I'm going to do it. I love it. I do it. It's like with improv, it's like, what's your name? And I'm like, what do you mean? What did I do wrong?
Yeah, but guess what?
It's so good for you.
You just improvised this entire time. And here's what happens. When people label it, they get nervous. But when you realize that your entire life is improv, you're like, you literally can't even have a conversation without improvising.
Yeah. And here's what I'll say for your listeners. When the little bit of improv I did a long time ago, I really enjoyed. It makes everything else in life so much easier when you learn to think quickly on your feet, find the right words, work under pressure. I'm super bad at it. That's why I need to do it. It improves your career. I think it improves your job interview skills immensely. That's why I wanted you on my show so badly. Yeah. These things help job seekers. It helps in meetings with coworkers when the boss is there and every word feels like it's going to be wrong. Learning how to hold your tongue, wait, and then say the right things, especially quickly. Oh, I think improv is one of the coolest, scariest things ever. So I'm excited. I'll be there the 9th or the, you say 17th?
It is April the 17th and April 9th. Yep.
Cool.
Okay. Well, we'll see you then. Hopefully everybody else comes too. Thank you, Matthew, so much for being here.
Thanks again, Erin.
Improve It, peeps. What a show. So action-packed. So many tangible tips and tricks here for you today. Here's what I want you to do. If you liked today's show, this is your homework. I want you to send an email to info@learntoimproveit.com. I want you to tell us what you took away from today's show that you're going to implement. If you're not looking for a dream career, maybe you're a person interviewing somebody and what you actually took away from today's episode, because I want to hear from you. I need to hear from you in order to give you more of what you want. So tell me what you liked, what you want more of, what we could do differently. That is your homework for today. As always, you know what I'm going to say, keep failing, keep improving, because this world needs that very special it that only you can bring. I'll see you next time.
Improve It Podcast.